Okay, this is part two of Yichud in the workplace. Just a clarification that we're talking about the challenges of being in a secular workplace. That's where Yichud is a problem. Obviously, if somebody works just with men, then you don't have the issues with women, you're not enticed by women, you don't have the various problems that we discussed last time. This is talking about working in a secular workplace, which typically has men and women, and nowadays there's been, in the past few decades, there's been a significant increase in the amount of women in the workplace, which has caused this to be an even greater problem and difficulty than it's been historically with Klal Yisrael, and we know that it's been a problem since creation. So an important point. In Shulchan Aruch last time at the end, we went through various heterim for Yichud. Yichud, again, is seclusion of a man and woman together. It's not necessarily only one woman. It could be more than one woman also. But we'll focus just for simplicity on one man, one woman. We're talking in particular in the workplace, but it applies in other contexts as well. The Shulchan Aruch says that it is prohibited, whether she's young, whether she's old. And the same thing applies whether she's attractive or not attractive. It doesn't matter. If she's female and has a pulse, we have a problem of yichud, being secluded alone with that woman. And obviously, as we explained last time, that's the problem is what may happen as a result of that seclusion. So it's a prohibition in of itself, even though nothing happens. Being secluded with the woman violates the Isra of Yichud, which indeed may be, depending on the situation and the opinion, may be an Isra Dilraisa. Some of the heterim, last time we talked about if one's wife is with him, or if the woman that he's with has a spouse, there's a husband is there, there's not a problem of Yichud. And the more, that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, the more general concept here is that if somebody has a shomer, a guard by him that will ensure he does nothing wrong, then we don't have a problem with Yichud. This used to come up with me when I used to go into work on Sundays. If a woman would be there, there would obviously be a problem with Yichud, depending on what we're going to talk about, Pesach, Pasul, Yishu, Sarabim. If a lot of people have keys to the door, a lot of people have access, maybe going in and out, maybe there's a glass that people can see in, or there's a camera that's watching, maybe there aren't problems with Yichud. But if the door is locked, man and woman going on a Sunday, going on a Motzei Shabbos, there's a problem of Yichud. One way to get out of that is to bring a son or daughter with you. You bring a kid, bring your wife, obviously it's not a problem. A man may be in seclusion during the day with a woman in the presence of his mother. If you want to bring your mother to work, daughter, that's much easier. That's what I used to do. I used to bring my daughter when she was 6, 7, 8 years old. She used to accompany me. She used to enjoy getting the chocolates at work, so she used to come with me. Sister or grandmother, or in the presence of the woman's father, son, brother, or grandfather, there would not be a problem of Yichud. So the general concept is, if there is a shomer there, we do not have a problem of Yichud. There's a lot of discussion of what's a proper shomer. If it's a kid, what's the proper age? It can't be a little baby. That's not going to act as a shomer. The problem is the concern of the man or the woman that child may think on him to the other spouse. So obviously it has to be someone who would go and think on... let me just get through this. This is all by way of repetition. Okay, so heter number two, and this is very complex. And every time I give this topic, or every time I review this topic, I say, oh my goodness, this is a complex topic, is what if you have multiple people there? We've been talking about men and women together. You have a problem of Yichud. How about two women? How about three women? Is there a problem? So the Achronim discuss a lot about this. We are not going to go through a lot of numbers. Real quickly, there is a publication, it's available on the line, The Laws of Yichud. Write this down, Rabbi Dubov, D-U-B-O-V, Rabbi Dubov, D-U-B-O-V. He has a fantastic, this is just a few of the chapters that he has on Yichud, and it talks about defining Yichud and the concept of Pesach Pasuach and issues that come up in the workplace, etc., etc. So I highly recommend getting it. He goes through a lot of the details. If you read the footnotes, he has a very comprehensive review of the various issues and halachas when it comes to Yichud. But when it comes to us, the Ramah says that if one man has another man with him who is a kosher, who keeps the laws of Yichud, of Negiah, etc., that person can act as a shomer with me. That's the sheet of the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch is machmir, but at least for Ashkenazim, if it's during the day, if it's in the city, we can rely. There's one other shomer there, one other man who is a kosher, who's proper, Jewish, and keeps the laws of tznius, etc., he would be able to watch over me. I would be able to watch over him, so we would not have a problem of yichud. How about if there are multiple women there? So two women, even if the ksheirot, would not be enough. You can have three women. That's some poskim say three women who are ksheirim. That would be sufficient to take us out of the problem of yichud. If it's during the day, if it's at night, you'd need four. So that's another basket of heterim. When it comes to a woman whose husband is in the city, last time we talked about that, this heter, if she's at home, somebody can come in. If I'm at work and there's a woman there, we'll call her Chaya, and Chaya's husband is in the city, can I rely on that? Her husband is in the city, there's the fear factor on her. We paskin in Shulchan Aruch that if this is somebody that I am gasba, meaning I'm familiar with, a co-worker, for example, who I've worked with together for some time, I cannot rely on the heter that ba'ala ba'ir, that her husband is in the city, and there will be a fear upon her, so she will be scared in order to do anything with me. So in the workplace, it's very rare that we will be able to rely on the heter if her husband is in the city. It's not a problem of yichud. Typically, if it's co-worker, it would indeed be a problem, and we cannot rely simply that their husband is in the city. And the last heter that we went through is Pesach Pasuach Yeshus Harabim, and this we're going to talk about a little bit later today. Literally, that the door is open to a public thoroughfare, a place that people are going in of and out of. So those are a number of the heterim. That last one is the most relevant in the workplace. And in the second half this year, we're going to go through that in a little bit detail. What I want to talk about before that is there a minimum amount of time? Is there a minimum amount of time that somebody would be together in seclusion that then you violate the Isra of Yichud, or is it immediately? Even after a few seconds, secretary comes into the room, wants to say something in confidence, closes the door, Yichud, just like that, locks the door, doesn't want anyone to come in. Is that Yichud immediately? Or is there a minimum amount of time that one would be in yichud, in solitude with a woman, and only then does their prohibition kick in? A nafkamina for that is going up in an elevator. If we say it's the former, that any amount of time in solitude, we have a problem, even getting into an elevator, just a man and woman together, doors closed, we have a problem with yichud, or is that not the case? So this is talked about a lot in the Achronim, because the Rishonim, the Gemara, the Tur, the Shulchan Aruch, no one mentions any minimum amount of time, any minimum threshold for Yichud. In other words, we could imply from that that even after a few seconds being secluded with the woman, there's immediately a problem with Yichud. We could conclude that quite easily, in fact. Now, the language of the Shulchan Aruch, when talking about Yichud in Evin Ezer, Simcha Chafez, I'll read it as follows. Asr li siyachadim erva me'arayis. It's prohibited to have a yichud with a woman that one is prohibited to. Shedavar ze gorem legalos erva. What's the problem with yichud? What is the prohibition? Why do we have it? Because it can go to the next step. You could have relations with the woman very easily. So the question is, when it comes to yichud, is the concern that you can have relations right then, when there's yichud? And if that's the case, then we would say there's only a prohibition if you've hit the threshold that it would take to do the act. Or would we say that even if you're not going to be secluded for the amount of that amount of time, but we have concern that simply being in seclusion with the woman, that could generate warmth, affection, that in the future could come out at a later point. So even if you're not in yichud seclusion for that amount of time, nonetheless, there would be a prohibition. So those are the two ways to look at it. This is a major machlokes of the Achronim, whether there is a minimum threshold that is a kula, only if you hit the threshold, the minimum amount of time. Is there an Isra, or is it at any amount of time? So we have to look at another body of halacha to see, to extrapolate possibly what would be the minimum shear, minimum amount of time that one would be in seclusion to violate the Isra of Yichud. What would be a comparable, very comparable body of halacha to look at the halachas of the Sota? What's a Sota?
Woman is suspected of cheating on her husband. She secluded herself along with...
Woman is suspected by the husband that she is involved with another man. He has concerns. What does he do?
Based in.
First, before the based in, he has to give her a warning. He warns her, don't be secluded with that man. I'm warning you. And what does she do? She ignores the warning, and she is secluded anyway. There are two aiding witnesses that she was secluded. So the Mishnah in Sota says as follows: Nichneso imala beis haseser. If she goes and with that man she was warned about, she goes and she is secluded with him, with that man specifically. Vishasa imo kedei tuma, and she was secluded for the amount of time that it takes. Kedei tuma. Kedei tuma is what? To do the act. Kedei tuma, the amount of time to become impure, to do the act. She is prohibited to her husband. She was warned. She violated the warning. She ignored the warning. She went. She secluded. Two witnesses saw that she was secluded. She was secluded the amount of time that it would take to do the act. She is prohibited to the husband. So the Gemara there in Sota Daf Dalet brings a number of opinions. What's that amount of time that she has to be secluded in order to be prohibited to her husband? And there are a number of opinions that are brought down what it is. And remember, they didn't have our Timex watches that we have nowadays to say it was 3 minutes and 33 seconds that they were secluded, or 15 minutes and 20. They don't have that type of counting of times at that time. So Rabbi Akiva's opinion initially in the Gemara is kedei legoma. It's the amount of time it takes to eat an egg. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara brings a different opinion by Rabbi Akiva and says there's a stira, there's a conflict in Rabbi Akiva. It's not the time, amount of time it takes to eat the egg, but it's the amount of time that it takes to fry the egg, cook the egg. So the Gemara says, which is it? Is it the amount of time it takes to fry the egg, or is it the amount of time to eat the egg? And the Gemara concludes, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's the amount of time that it takes to fry and eat the egg, both combined. To fry and eat the egg. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Indeed, that's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch and the halakas of Sota. It doesn't say how many minutes, but it says, Ketzad yastira, what is the amount of time? What's this concept of her being secluded? The Sota was warned. What's the amount of time that she was secluded with this man she was warned about? Shenistara bifnei edim, that she was secluded in front of witnesses. Im osa plona shekinala, with that man that she was warned not to be secluded about. Vishata kedei tuma, and she was secluded for the amount of time it takes to do tuma, to be matame. Shehi kedei, what's the amount of time the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like Rebbe Akiva, litzlos beitza ulegoma, the amount of time it takes to fry an egg and eat it. How long is that? We'll see in a little bit. That's obviously the question of the hour. So it's a machlokis in the Achronim, whether we paskin this way or not. Do we learn from the Sota that there has to be a minimum amount of time to violate the Isra of Yichud, or is it not? Some Achronim say, yes, there is a minimum amount of time. If you don't hit that amount of time, there wasn't an Isra Yichud. I'll read you from the Tzitz Eliezer. He says, Kol Yichud she'ein bo kedei shiur bi. If you're not in Yichud seclusion with a woman, we're out of the halachas of Sota now. We're talking about normal Yichud, in the office, whatever. If you don't hit the amount of time that it takes to do the act, to have relations with someone, lo chal aleh shem Yichud kol. There's no violation of Yichud at all. You need to hit that minimum threshold. If you didn't have to hit that threshold, there's no violation of Yichud. Igros Moshe agrees, but he says even more so. It's even going to be a longer amount of time than that. It takes the amount of time to do the act. You have to take your clothing off. You have to put your clothing back on. If you didn't know the lady, you have to somehow entice her. Right? It's not an automatic. So the Igros Moshe also paskins lekula, leniently, that there is a threshold, and if you don't hit that, there's no violation of the Isser of Yichud. Obviously, that has ramifications with elevators, we'll talk about at the end. However, there are Achronim that are indeed Machmir. The Maharil Diskin says, Af Pachos Michtebiya, you violate the Isser of Yichud even less than the time that it takes to have relations. The Shut B'Tzela Chochma says as follows, Ha'ole LaHalacha, Kol Shehu Begeder Yichud, Yesh li zayar, anything that is in the gedder of Yichud, yesh li zayar afilu kishen shos kedei shiur bia. Even if it's going to be less than the time that it takes to have bia, to have relations, there is going to be a problem of Yichud. So there is a major nafkamin. I'll just mention something parenthetically. There's a concept in the Gemara of chetzi shiur asr min haTorah, which means even sometimes when the Torah says there's a minimum amount to violate a prohibition, there's a minimum amount to eat on Yom Kippur, for example, that you have a violation. So this concept of Chetzi Shir says, no, even if less than that, there's still an Isser Torah. There's still a violation. Doesn't mean that on Yom Kippur you can eat less than that amount, unless it's a real concern for medical concern, medical health issues. It doesn't mean you can eat the little amount. It's Asr from the Torah, but you simply have the real Onesh if you ate the entire amount. But it's still a prohibition, mean a Torah to eat less. So we could say, even in a lenient camp, So there's a minimum amount of time, but that doesn't mean it's mutter when it's a lesser of time. But some poskim say that that concept doesn't apply here. But we won't go into detail on that. Okay, so what's on everyone's mind right now? We said the psak of Rav Moshe is, and the Tzitz Eliezer, that you have to hit the amount of time that it takes to what? To fry the egg and eat it. So how long is that? How long does it take to fry egg and eat it? So I will tell you that it was a couple years ago, literally 2-3 years ago, I was sitting on our dining room table and my wife came home with the kids from school. And I'm sitting learning this topic. How long would it take? What is that amount of time, Rabbi Akiva, litzlos beil legoma, to fry that egg and eat it? And my daughter, eldest daughter, she was 10 at the time, goes into the kitchen, and at the time, goes in fads, kids like cooking for everyone else or not. So at the time she was enjoying cooking for everyone, eggs. So she goes in and she's taking orders, how would you like your egg? She wasn't exactly sautéing onions and tomatoes and making cheese omelets, but it was more simple than that. Do you want the yellow part in or out of your of your egg? So she took orders, and I said to her, I said, how long do you think it would take to fry that egg and for me to eat it? What's your estimate? How long would it take? Litzlos beil legoma. So she thought about it for a second, and she says, 5 minutes. 5 minutes is the amount of time. So right then I was learning the sugya, what would it be? And the Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, says as follows. Kama hevi shir tu mahanal b'minutin. Minutin in English is?
Minutes,
thank you. So you always break your teeth on the English words. So beragoyim. So how long would it take in minutes, Rabbi Akiva says, to fry the egg, to eat it, but tachlis, how long is that? So he says as follows. We would say that it's 5 minutes. 5 minutes is the amount of time that it would take to fry the egg and to eat it. That would be a sufficient amount of time. That would be the minimum. That would be a violation of the isser of yichud. If you hit 5 minutes, less than that would not be an isser. He says, I think this actually matches with the mitzius, the practicality that if you go and you fry an egg, be'esh beinoni, not on a super high flame, but a moderate flame, and you swallow it, you eat it when it's still hot, he thinks it would be approximately 5 minutes. So then the Minchas Yitzchak says on another tshuva, the next tshuva, he says he went up in an elevator and he timed how long would it take to go in an elevator if there's a problem in Yichud. So he says he timed for 4 floors and it took less than a minute for 4 floors. So if you went up 10 floors, he said it would be less than 2.5 minutes. There wouldn't be a problem with Yichud based on his timing. If it's just a man and a woman together in the elevator, or 2 women and 1 man, still would be a problem, we said. Then it would be, we're going to get back to this if it's on the elevator. We'll get back to this at the end. Okay, so that was his opinion, the Minchas Yitzchak. There are other opinions, don't ask me to explain them, but that say as few as 30 seconds, 35 seconds. And there is a Kovetz Or Torah that looked at all the opinions, went through the sugya, and says the average of the opinions is 3 minutes. So he passes 3 minutes. If you're below 3 minutes, you don't have a problem. If you hit 3 minutes, then Yechud kicks in. So there is an important machlokis. Avrachoni, we'll get back to when we talk about elevators. What I do want to talk about now, the last major topic, is we talked about this heter, Pesach, Pasuach, Yeshus HaRabim, that if the door is literally open to a public thoroughfare, there would not be a problem of Yechud. And I'd like to define what that means. Does the door literally have to be open? Can it be closed but unlocked? What if it's locked, but multiple people have keys and regularly access the office? Do we still have a problem? So what are the gedorim, the guidelines for Pesach, Pasul, Yeshus HaRabim that would get us out of the prohibition of Yichud, even if it's me and her? I'm there at work with Samantha. She's male, female, I'm male. We have a problem of Yichud. What is required to have a Pesach Pasuach, that the door be open, to not have a violation of Yichud? So the source for this heter, and this is very much the most common heter that people rely on in the workplace and also at home, is the Gemara in Kiddushin Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Rav Yosef says, Pesach Pasuach Lirshus HaRabim, if the Pesach is Pesach, the door is Pasuach, is open, Lirshus HaRabim, Ein Choshashim Mishim Yichud. There's no problem of Yichud. And that's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer, Simen Chaf Aleph. See, if the door is open, there's no problem of Yichud. Now, one important proviso to this, the Beis Shmuel, on Shulchan Aruch there brings down in the name of the Chalkas Mechokek that this does not apply if the man and woman are familiar with each other. As we mentioned before, if it's a cousin, somebody you grew up with, a co-worker, you can't rely on Pesach Pasuach. However, the Velt is not machmir for that. We indeed do rely that Pesach Pasuach applies even for a co-worker, but sometimes if it's a co-worker that someone is really familiar with, worked for a long time with, we may be more machmir in what's required to fulfill the heter Pesach Pasuach. We may be more, have more stringencies with it. We are lenient, we do rely on Pesach Pasuach, but we may be stricter for the opinion of what's required in order to have that door open. Okay, so we're going to go through now three opinions. What is the definition of Pesach Pasuach through Shus HaRabim? So first the Rashba, very prominent Rishon in his Tshuvas, says as follows, Ein ze yichud ad shehe bayis na'ul. There is no problem of yichud until the door is
locked.
If the door is closed, but not locked, according to the Rashba, is there yichud?
No.
It's not a problem of yichud. Why not?
Because anyone could walk in.
Because in theory, anyone could walk in. So he says that. Fitama, what's the reason? As long as the door is not locked, even though it's closed, it's not a problem of yichud. Kol she'eno b'mino, as long as it's not locked, yirehu shema yikanes acher shelo b'yirshut. You're still going to be concerned that somebody is going to walk in without permission. I will tell you, when I was in undergrad, I was in a dorm, in an apartment building. We had four room guys. High rise north at the University of Pennsylvania. We were in room 413. That was one of those rooms that gets held over for Orthodox year after year. So somebody moves out, graduates, somebody else moves in. So I had a roommate there, and one time he walks in back into our apartment, ashen gray. And I said, "What happened?" He said he had just walked into another apartment on our floor, people we were friendly with. The door had been unlocked but open. He didn't knock. He walked right in, and he saw something he should not have. The Hamei Bin Yavin. The Hamei Bin Yavin. So he walked in. So I think it's difficult. What? Hamei Bin Yavin means, and who understands what I'm saying, understands what I'm saying, and I don't want to explain even more than that. So somebody has a phrase. This I've heard somebody say, the Hamei Bin Yavin. Somebody understand? If you don't understand when you grow up, you'll understand. That's what he said. It was another quote unquote from apartment that he walked into.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So
it
wasn't married.
Oh.
So the Rashba, at least at their time, had the fear factor. I think we don't so much have the fear factor nowadays, unfortunately, with the lewd and promiscuous society that we live in. So that gets to the next opinion. So the Rashba is the most makel, the most lenient. Door can be closed as long as it's not locked, it's not a problem. It's considered Pesach Pasuach, and the door is considered open because somebody can access it. Rabbi Akiva Eger, in his Tshuvas, brings a base mayor that says, he brings this opinion, the Rashba, he says, nah, that's not Pesach Pasuach. If you look at the words in the Gemara, and in the Shulchan Aruch, it says Pesach Pasuach. What is Pesach Pasuach? What's Pasuach?
Open.
It has to be open. The door cannot be closed and unlocked. Literally, the door has to be open. And not only that, how about if it's open, but it's open, wide open, into a desolate place that there's no foot traffic to? No one's coming. Is that enough? Pesach Pasuach is criteria number one, requirement number one. Lirshus Harabim, to a public thoroughfare that is frequented by people. If you don't have both of those criteria, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, you have a problem of yichud. So in order to have a head there, Pesach Pasuach, it needs to be door literally open, not even closed, but unlocked, but it has to be open, and it has to be to an area that the public has access. It doesn't have to be 600,000 people that are traversing there every day. We're not in the Irving context, but it has to be an area frequented by people that would likely change day versus night, etc. It's going to be situational, but those are the requirements of Rabbi Akiva Eger. He goes to the other extreme. He's very machmir. And the third opinion is the Binyan Siyan. The Binyan Siyan first brings the first opinion, the Rashba, who says it just has to be closed. Then you don't have a problem. He disagrees with that. And then he brings the second opinion of the Beis Meir and Rabbi Akiva Eger, saying it has to be literally open into public thoroughfare. He says, if that's the case, says the Binyan Siyun, it's almost impossible to not violate the prohibition of Yichud. Why is that? Why is it almost impossible? Because, for example, he says there's a man at home alone and the cleaning lady comes in and shuts the door for a split second. Does that mean that there's a violation of the Isra of Yichud? He says everyone would be violating the Isra of Yichud if, based on that second opinion of the Beis Meir, that it literally has to always be open, the door always has to be open, and it has to be open to a place that the public is fasting by. That can't possibly be the definition.
You've got 35 seconds to open the door.
Based on the lenient opinion. Yes. So, but if we're not in the strict opinion, it's even a split second, right? Even so you're correct. It really does depend on that machloka, so we would say 5 minutes. So I think he's more in the machmir kept, that there's no minimum amount of time. So he brings a brilliant Gemara to introduce us to his principle of when does Pesach Pasuach apply, this concept of having the door open. And I think this is the definition that has really been accepted by Klal Yisrael to rely that there's not a problem of Yichud. So he brings the Gemara Megillah that says that Devorah Hanaviyah, as she would judge, she was a judge in Klal Yisrael, so people would come to litigate and discuss things with her. She would sit underneath a tomer tree. What's a tomer? A palm tree. Anyone from Los Angeles, palm trees, how do they look? Right? They're pretty tall up, and the leaves are all at the top, David, right? Palm Drive and then Beverly Hills, right? You got a whole street row with. So if you sit underneath a palm tree, you don't have a real concern that of Yichud. So the Gemara asks, why specifically did she sit under a palm tree? Maishna tachas tomer. Why couldn't she sit under other types of trees that had more shade, that the leaves came all the way down? So the Gemara there in Megillah says, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Avshalom yishum yichud. Because of a concern of yichud. What would be the yichud? So Rashi says that this is a tall tree, ve'ein lo tzel, and it doesn't have a lot of shade. Ve'ein adam yachol yisyached sham ima kamo babayis. And nobody can come and have yichud with her like in a house. So the Binyan Siyun says as follows. So apparently you couldn't be in a house even if the door is unlocked. Maybe even if it's open, there's a problem in a house. How about a different type of tree that the leaves came down and covered? Maybe that would be a problem also. So he says as follows, Ela al korkach. It must be that we learn from Dvorah HaNeviyah that as long as people are in seclusion and they can't be seen, afilo eno sagur, even if the door is not closed, even if it's not locked, gam as long as people don't have immediate access to there, there's still a problem of yichud. And he says, however, in a place that at any time somebody can access it without being announced, without being seen. It's like, you know, it's not that you're sitting there with a camera that you're watching anyone that's coming inside. That a place that somebody can come in anytime, l'sham b'lina tilas reshus, without asking permission, is not a problem of yichud. So this is the third opinion. The third opinion is, it's based on, is there a reasonable expectation of the people inside that somebody could come at any point? And if there is a reasonable explanation, somebody may walk in at any time, then there's not a problem of yichud. But if there's not that reasonable expectation that somebody could come in unannounced at any time, then indeed there would be a problem of yichud. Quick questions, and then I want to conclude.
So for example, if you have a store and you're alone with somebody of the opposite sex, and people commonly
in and out, in and out, not a problem of yichud.
But if you're in an apartment building at the top floor and people don't,
even if the door is wide open, but there's typically not floor traffic, and certainly at night, even the door wide open, there's no reasonable expectation that somebody could come in unannounced, then you have a problem of yichud. David?
If you have an office that has a glass wall or whatever so people can see in, even if the door is locked, is that not...
Very good question. If you are in the area that people can see you, there's not a problem of yichud. As long as... But if you step out of it and she's out of it, unless she's there where people... Then you do have a problem of yichud. But if it's a place that people reasonably could see you through the glass wall or something, then it's not a problem of yichud. It's the same concept. They're very good questions. And that may also apply if there's a camera there watching all the moves. Could be, especially if it's your wife that's watching it on the other side, then you likely wouldn't have a problem of yichud. Yes, please.
Okay, so then could we consider an elevator a thoroughfare itself? Because people commonly, you step in, any minute the next floor someone could get in.
So let's apply that to an elevator. Thank you. Good introduction. So let's apply the three opinions. The first opinion was what? That if the door is
unlocked,
it's not a problem. So there we could say, is an elevator door locked or unlocked? We could say at any time, just like somebody could, the door is unlocked and somebody could access it, so too, this elevator could stop at a floor at any time and somebody could come in. So we could say, based on the first opinion, apparently in an elevator, there is indeed not a problem. Based on the second opinion, that you need, based on Rabbi Akiva, that it needs to be, the door is open to a public thoroughfare, potentially, if we're in the opinion that doesn't require the 35 seconds or the 5 minutes, right? We're in the Machmir Shita, that as soon as those doors close, it is a closed door that is not open to a public thoroughfare, we could have a problem of yichud. We could have a problem of yichud. And based on the third opinion of the Binyan Sinan, based on a reasonable expectation that somebody could come in, I think under the normal circumstances, we would not have a problem of yichud. But let's say, for example, if somebody is in a building at 2 in the morning, elevator banks go up 50 floors, you step in on the bottom floor, you're going to 50, she's going to 52, it's going to take a while to get up there. It could be then that there's no reasonable expectation of somebody coming in for a little while, maybe then there is a problem of yichud. So I found this article on point here, published in the New York Times. That's the logo. New York Times, February 29, 2009. And it says, World Trade Center's elevators to be among the world's fastest. So the article says as follows. On opening in 2013, it will have the five fastest elevators in the Western Hemisphere, according to the company that will make them. These express cars serving the restaurant and observatory will reach a top speed of 2,000 feet a minute, meaning that a trip to the top of the city's tallest building will take less than 3/4 of a minute. And it continues. The original speed specification in the elevator contract called for 1,800 feet a minute service, but the Port Authority, that's in New York, Port Authority, increased that. So they have a quote here, an amazing quote by Stephen Coleman, who's a spokesman for the authority, the Port Authority. He says as follows, the reason that the elevator speeds were increased to 2,000 feet per minute is to avoid any concerns of yichud. No, that I made that up. he said as follows, the reason that the elevator speeds were increased to 2,000 feet per minute is to maximize the number of tourists, that makes more sense, right? Number of tourists by Stephen Coleman. Tourists and others who want to access One World Trade Center observation desk. So we do indeed have that question when it comes. If anyone had been in before 2001, 9/11, in the old World Trade Center in the elevators, there were two banks of elevators. You went from 0 to approximately 50, if anyone even remembers. Then you went from 50 to the top. It felt like you were in there forever because of the rattling. It was a little bit scary of a trek going up in those elevators, but it took almost no time. But there indeed, it seems that it would depend on our machlokas achronim. Is there a minimum threshold of time to violate the Isra of Yichud? If it's, there is a minimum threshold of the time, meaning if there's no minimum threshold of time and just you and her get in and there's no stopping between 0 and 50 because it's an express, indeed maybe there's a problem of Yichud. However, if we're in the opinions that say it's a 5 minutes or 3 minutes, it was less than 3 minutes even to go from 0 to 50, so there indeed would not be a problem of Yichud. Typically, we are lenient when it comes to elevators. I once went to pay a Shiva call. Somebody was sitting Shiva in the Wolfson buildings, and I was getting in with a lady who was dressed incredibly frum. Didn't speak any English. Yiddish was probably her first language. I spoke to her in Hebrew, and I was concerned. It was just the two of us getting into the elevator, and I wanted her to not be worried about an Isra of Yichud. So I told her before getting in, because it takes forever for the Wolfson elevator, so to wait another 15 minutes for it to come, I had to make minyan mincha up there. So I told her that we're lenient when it comes to elevators, Pesach Pasuach or whatever, and she says, Ani Yodat, I know we're lenient when it comes to elevators. She said she'd been through the sugya already. So we are typically lenient when it comes to elevators. I do want to end off with two more snippets. I found this a letter that was circulated by a rabbinical court in America, and it talks about the Isser of Yichud, and unfortunately this is oftentimes in the news of people. They don't specifically talk about Yichud, they talk about relationships between the therapist that was giving therapy to the woman who was in need, or the rabbi who was being consulted for marital issues. And unfortunately, sometimes it winds up being a lot more than just verbal coaching. So there was a letter that was sent out after there were a number of incidents like that. It says, you are no doubt aware of the many scandals which have unfolded on the American scene in the past few years. Unfortunately, there was one very recently in London that was all over the place, involving alleged abuse of children and susceptible women by doctors, therapists, clergy, and other counselors. We all know that the laws of Yichud were formulated to protect the Jewish community from this despicable behavior, which has become pervasive in America and throughout the world also. They know they're just talking in America. The laws of Yichud are even more stringent in a case of increased acquaintanceship. And they go on to say, consequently, we are advising all responsible persons in the community to ask that special precautions be taken in cases of a doctor or a therapist or rabbi, anyone who meets in private with a child or woman and may be in a position to take advantage of their vulnerability, whether physical, emotional, or psychological. We suggest that there always be another person present in the room or at least right outside the open door. This is just a snippet of the letter that went out acknowledging that there is a real problem. Things that start innocent, unfortunately, especially when it's in that personal, private, confidential context, can lead to unfortunate incidents, recurring incidents. So it's something that we indeed have to keep in mind. As I may have mentioned last time, Yichud is one of the, if not the biggest challenge in the workplace. Keeping the halachas of Yichud, because women, is, as we talked about last time, is the biggest challenge for men. For women, the largest challenge is men. For us, the largest challenge is women. So this is something that we have the guidelines of halacha to apply. If the halachas are not enough, we need to expand and be even stricter than the halachas require us to. Even if we have a problem at work and there's an issue going on, to even quit the job, then to stay in a situation may problems indeed may arise. I just want to end off on a story, because hopefully you can remember this story, that real story that happened, to understand how important these halachas are. I once got into a cab in Bnei Brak, taking a cab driver that I've taken on a few occasions. I get in, and the driver's name was Maxim, a Pasha de Yid, a simple Yid, in his 50s, late 50s, 60s. And he said, Ari, how are you? Mashlamcha. I said, Beseder, I'm good, Baruch Hashem, a little bit tired. And he says, I'm also tired. So I said, Maxim, why are you tired? So he says he had a job that morning at 2:30 in the morning, driving somebody to the airport. And his passenger, his client, was female. So we have a question in halacha: is there a problem of yichud in cars? Typically we say not if it's on a street that people are driving, there may be cars going by. But he was taking her at 2:30 in the morning to the airport, so there aren't that many cars out. So he tells me that he took his wife along with him to ensure that there would be no problem of yichud. So we see the incredible Mesiras Nefesh, not of Maxim. It's amazing that he did that. That's the halacha. Because if you're on a secluded road, even in a car, based on that third opinion, the binyan siyun, is there a reasonable expectation that somebody may be there or not at 2:30 in the morning? Depending on the highway and the streets, there may be no reasonable expectation that somebody may come. But the wife of Maxim, realizing the importance of going along to avoid any problems of yichud, we see tremendous mesiras nefesh. So that's something I hope we can keep in mind. Whether we go into business or law or medicine or kiruv rechokim, whatever it may be, we need to keep in mind the halachas of yichud. The laws are intricate, difficult, complex. If a question comes up, if you have a havamina, there's a question you need to ask a shaila of a rav who is knowledgeable in these areas. Yes, questions?
You said that the shomer can be a valid way of avoiding yichud. Are goyim different in that halacha as far as shomers?
Such a good question. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that if a woman, a Jewish woman, cannot rely, if there's a man there, a non-Jewish man, she cannot rely on the wife of that non-Jewish man being there. So there are some differences. And you should ask a question, because the scenarios vary greatly. Rabbi Dubov here has a lot of discussions of non-Jews and three men and three women and two men and two women. So you should go through. But there indeed are differences, of course, in the Shulchan Aruch between Jews and non-Jews when it comes to Shomer. Yeah.
It seems like this is a similar issue in the workplace, that like when a woman reaches out her hand. So at least from your experience, it becomes an issue where like you need to leave the door open or whatnot, and a woman, a female, is there. What like how do you approach it to her? Like explaining that you know.
How do you explain it to her?
Yeah, how would you explain it to her?
It's very good. And before I answer that, I want to say, when it comes to the workplace, and you have this situation, I know poskim that don't want to rely on the door simply being closed but unlocked. They actually want the door open. So it's even a more difficult question. And one thing we didn't talk about enough of is there are poskim that say that if three people have keys, we can be lenient, but you still, no matter what, you need the reasonable expectation that somebody may come in using those keys. It's in the middle of the night, people don't typically come, you cannot rely on it. So I would say, just open like that, Jewish law requires that in these contexts, I can't be secluded. Many things come up between men and women, and I want, for both of our protections, I just want to make sure that we have the door open. I'd say just like that. I think it sounds very open, honest, and direct, and I think people will understand that. I really do, and if not, then...
That's their problem, not your problem.
Yeah, if she's going to be closing the door. Now, you do have a question of concerns about security. If she says, our office is on 125th Street in Harlem, and she says to you, Christina says to you, you may be machmir for the binyan siyan, but I want to be meka, like the first opinion, the Rashba, that if it's closed and unlocked. So if she says that to you, we can... And you should speak with the posik about this, about how to create a Pesach Pasul Yeshu Sarabim. Meaning, give your friends keys. I don't know if I mentioned this, but what I've done, working at home, living in Los Angeles, you don't want to leave your front door wide open, is to send an email to friends, leaving a key outside under the mat, sending them, and I would send them to them saying, Yichud alert, did I mention this last time? I don't remember. So what I would do when working at home office, my wife would go out and the cleaning lady would there, I would send out an email. To some posts can say you have to send it to at least three friends. I would send it to two that I knew were in the neighborhood around, and I would say, subject, yichud alert, today from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., whatever it is, the time that we have the yichud alert, please come, the key is in the normal place, the key is under the mat, wherever it is, leave the key out. Pesach pasul yeshu sarabim. Some posts can say that is enough. The first time I sent that out, within about 3 minutes, one of them showed up with his six kids. You have to have a reasonable expectation they will come. It's not that I send out those emails and no one ever comes. That's not a Pesach Pasul Lishus Rabin. Remember the Binyan Sin? I need a reasonable expectation they're going to come. If not, then it doesn't work out. Yes?
In that circumstance, let's say you give it to people and all of them have shown up and there's still like 30 minutes left for the clean lady to be there.
They may show up again. No, they may show up again.
Fine.
You made a very good question. Halavai, they should all show up.
Yeah.
Halavai, they should all show up.
They just need to come the first time?
There needs to be, it can't be just the first time. I mean, it needs to be a reasonable expectation that they can come at any time. If they came just once and you go 50 times and no one shows up, it kind of wears away that, he's no one showing up. So there has to be a real expectation any second somebody may come. Yeah?
Was it earlier that Chetzi Shir Hazrim Gerais, does that only probably mean Gerais of laws?
No, it's a machlokus, actually, but as some poskim can say, even to Rabbanan. But remember, Yichud may be Doraisa.
Is there, with the state of what the state of the United States is right now, is there a problem with Yichud with somebody of the same gender?
I'm going to punt on that to Rabbi Breidelitz. Okay, last question.
Okay, my question is sort of...
But there is discussions in the Gemara of that, actually. Okay, but...
Yeah, let's say you're on an open street, but the street's deserted except for yourself and the lady. Let's say it's a big Iowa, but there's only two walking along. Is that an issue?
Is there a reasonable expectation that somebody may come?
It's a question.
If there's a reasonable expectation that somebody could walk by, drive by, then there would not be a problem of yichud. If there's not that reasonable expectation, then there would be a problem of yichud.
So you have to just wait until one of you passes, like, stop on the way or something.
Even if it's unintentional, just a woman that's on the street and you, and it's a deserted area, then there's a problem of yichud.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're just out of time. Come on up another day. Have a great week, guys.